Welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. Today, my good old buddy Blake Weiland is back with me. Hi, Blake.
Here I am.
And that's the podcast. Thanks for listening.
All right, goodbye. See you later, everyone. We've had a rough week.
Now, just getting back from Gear Fest, straight from Gear Fest at Sweetwater, and then a Government Mule concert on Monday. So right at, basically a day in between because it was my birthday. And then to the Government Mule in Louisville, Kentucky, hung out with Warren, put a video out about it in case you're curious. So went through all his gear and did all the fun, nerdy stuff.
So basically what you're trying to tell me is you are super, super tired right now. I heard about that whole thing.
I needed more hours in my day, so I just started eliminating sleep.
Yeah, who needs those? Those are just sleeping hours.
If I'm abnormally slow on the wit today, that would be why. If you hear any background noise, that's my air conditioner because it's about 140 outside. So yeah,
140,
pretty much. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I might suggest then that you might consider relocating. I think it's too hot where you are currently residing.
First step, it sounds like you're living in legitimate hell.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like a vacation would be in order. Why don't you come over to Portland, Oregon, where it's currently 62 and raining? How about that?
That sounds so fantastic, though. Nice and comfy. Sitting on the porch listening to the rain coming down. I'm making myself tired here. All right, so let's just jump into the obvious and get this out of the way.
I know there's kind of an elephant in the room that we didn't even really want to talk about because it's been beat to death, but I feel like we will be remiss if we don't at least touch on briefly another Gibson controversy. For those who haven't seen, I guess we could give a brief overview. I'm sure most of anyone who's listened to this has, so I guess skip ahead 5 minutes if you already know what's going on. But Mark Agnesi, who I think I said his last name right, I've never got a clear answer on that. Also, I haven't searched that hard. So it's a combination of laziness and ignorance on this one. But he, as a lot of people knew, he used to be the manager of Norman's Rare Guitars, which is a very famous guitar store. And they did a lot of videos, and he got really well known on the interwebs as a vintage guitar like aficionado type person. I think I'm describing him right. Anyway, he got a job at Gibson and was helping with kind of the resurrection of that company. And suddenly they put out a video that a lot of people didn't like. I don't know if you got to catch it when it dropped, Brian, or did you see it later?
I saw it on the Reddit thing.
Yeah, me too.
But basically, apparently someone had saved the video and re-uploaded it. Which goes to show you that anytime you post anything online, it's forever.
It's forever, yeah. Gibson tried to pull it after some backlash because, I mean, you'll have to look it up. If you hit the Google Mark Agnesi Gibson, yeah, I'm sure you're going to find what you need to find.
It's now been reposted 10,000 times, so yeah.
Yeah. But I won't rehash it, but basically the gist of it was in a somewhat awkwardly cut and weirdly, everyone kind of took it in a weird way. He basically was calling out anyone who was using Gibson-ish shapes in their builds, supposed Gibson-ish shapes. And I won't paraphrase it any further. If you want to look it up, go for it. But it, as you can imagine, caused a big blow up.
Oh yeah.
Were they talking about it at Gear Fest at all?
A little bit, but not like they are on the forums and the gear groups and stuff.
Just like with everything, right?
It's always
blown out of proportion.
I don't know. I hate to really stereotype stuff, but generally, what I have found is that there is the largest portion of our customer base, the largest portion of people that are actually into guitar gear, really don't hang out in gear groups talking about guitar gear. They really don't. They go on with their lives and do other things, and they just happen to buy guitar gear every now and then. And then the
losers.
And then the super nerds like you, Blake, and me, you know, we're hanging out on Facebook groups and looking at Instagram, you know, profiles centered around guitar gear and looking at, well, for me personally, watching YouTube videos all the time about guitar stuff. And but not the biggest portion isn't doing that.
No, they're really not. They might see something they like and Google it later. But like to go to the depths that we've descended to is very abnormal.
I remember several years ago. This has been several years ago when the gear page was like it was the place to find out about guitar gear. You know, there was kind of an overall feeling that the gear page that it could make a company or it could break a company. And I recall ZVEX. This had to be about 2008 or 9 or something. And he was like, he basically said, "You're all completely wrong. This isn't a speck on the pimple of the butt of the guitar industry in general."
I'm inclined to. Actually, that's probably exactly. I would say it's not that. I would say that's exactly what it is.
I mean, so that's not to put it down. It's just that, you know, the overall ideas and that sort of thing, they don't always carry through to everyone else who is into guitar gear. Like, for example, this podcast, there is a large amount of people that play guitar, buy pedals such as ours, and have no interest in listening to a podcast, let alone a podcast about guitar stuff.
It's true. And that's true. There's a lot of people. I mean, let's be like, I can point to one. Like, my dad only listens to podcasts because his son happens to do one.
Right. Yes.
like he's a guitar player. He likes music. He likes all that stuff. But like, the only reason he's tuning into Chasing Tone or Tone Mob is because, "Hi, Dad, it's me." Right. And it's just not like he loves guitar and music, but he kind of, like you said, he's got other things to do. And I'm not trying to put down our hobby or our interest or obviously anybody that's tuning in. It's just we tend to, and I'm super guilty of this, get in our own bubble. And it can be really hard to see. Like, your average guitar player who was a Gibson fan before this never saw that video probably and is still a Gibson fan.
Right, you're exactly right. The majority of people, did you actually say what he said? Yeah, you did.
Yeah, in a nutshell. I didn't say it exactly, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, basically, he was like, "We're coming after you if you're violating our trademarks."
Yes.
And that just didn't sit well with a lot of the people, you know, in our gear circles, I would say. But like you said, the biggest majority of people, whether they're buying from a guitar center or whatever, they probably didn't even know about it. It's probably not even on their radar that he said anything like that. So it's probably actually, despite what the internet thinks, probably not going to have that big of an effect on things, if I had to guess.
Probably not. And also, I should say, and I know you feel the same way, neither of us have any issue with a company trying to protect their IP.
Oh, not at all.
You've had to do that before.
Oh, yeah,
all the time. That's not the issue at all. It's like the delivery and like kind of the tone and like it really came off as like not taking the temperature of the water before jumping in is kind of how it took. It felt to me.
That's a good way to put it.
I just felt like you could have said something similar in a much more tasteful way that wouldn't have seemed like you were going to go attack some small guy building one guitar in his garage. When you probably meant the wide variety of Chibsons and whatever else are coming in.
So,
you know?
And to kind of clarify that, in case those listening might not know, you can buy Chinese copies. They actually do say Gibson on them. They are counterfeits. In the same way that you can buy other pedals that are counterfeit. Like, we've talked about how you can buy a counterfeit triple rec on like Alibaba. Those are counterfeit products that I'm completely on board. That needs to stop. With that said, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem on a moral level if someone takes a Tube Screamer circuit and calls it, you know, my favorite overdrive, you know, and that's the name of the pedal or whatever. That's a horrible name for a pedal, by the way. Let's call it the Awesome Drive. You know?
Okay.
but it's a Tube Screamer clone. Like in the same way, I mean, there's been people that have done, you know, circuits that are kind of around some of our stuff that we've done, and that is one thing that I usually try to be really clear about. Like if it's based on a, you know, like the Fuzztration was kind of based around a Big Muff topology type of thing, right? Like I'm pretty open about that. I'm not a big fan of saying, yeah, completely unique circuit, totally unique, and then someone reverse engineers it like, dude, this is a straight up Tube Screamer clone. I'm not a big fan of those type of situations. I'd rather be much clearer because I think, I don't know, maybe, what's the most diplomatic way of putting this? I think that people out there deserve to know. There you go. I've got nothing to hide. So, you know, so it's not a big deal to me to say, hey, well, our Clarksdale, yeah, it's based on the Tube Screamer circuit and it's got an added bass and a mid control and, you know, a few little tricks like that thrown in. Rather than saying, oh, I completely reinvented the wheel, you know. But from that aside, I mean, if I was Gibson, I don't think I'm going after every guitar that has the shape of the Gibson body, you know.
No, I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, it's on one hand, I kind of understand. It's like, you know, we came up with this. Built our company on a lot of these designs. And so I understand like it being a extreme point of frustration to see, you know, people making essentially clones or, you know, improved variants or whatever. But, you know, kind of like we've talked about market forces before, if there's mm-hmm. something that you are not making that people are demanding, someone is going to step up and fill the need. You know right. what I mean? Yep. So it's almost hard to get mad about in some ways. I mean, I get it on both sides of the fence. I really do. But you got to recognize why these things happen. Like if there's a successful builder that's succeeding off of building clones and only clones, well, why is he succeeding? Is it because they're better quality at a lower price? Is it because they're just better quality overall? Is it because their marketing's better? I'd almost say, like, what can you learn from that and, you know, fix your own products so people go back to the original or fix your own methods or fix your own whatever reason somebody's going to that guy, maybe try to figure it out and replicate it. And then you wouldn't right. have to have the bad publicity and all that stuff. But
right.
I don't know. I'm kind of just thinking out loud here.
No, I get you. I mean, when I saw that video, I think my first response was kind of along for all you marketing fans. And business fans, Gary Vaynerchuk quote, which was, "I'd rather build the biggest building by building the biggest building, not by tearing the others down around me."
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. and I'm not. So let me be real clear. I'm not saying that Gibson's trying to tear others down. I'm just saying,
but they put out a message that made it feel like they were going to do that.
It could be. It could be taken that way by some people, for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, so
said we were only going to spend right. 5 minutes, but we did.
Right. So that's the Gibson fiasco. All right. Now that we've got that done, we can get on to some real stuff, right?
Yeah. First of all, I mean, I don't think either of us got our full thought, but I think that's good enough. No one needs to hear any more of that.
So, yeah. Google the internet for.
Yeah. You'll find it.
So I got to ask you about this because you'd mentioned this before we talked. Mm-hmm. You said you found a new state of bliss with stereo rather than mono running. Assume you mean running stereo amps rather than mono.
Yeah, I've known this for a long time, but I did some cleaning up the other day, and I had a bunch of I've been working on some IGTV demos. Like everyone knows, or not everyone. But a lot of people know Instagram's my favorite social platform. It's where I started, and why part of the reason I'm talking to you in your ears today is because of Instagram. And I've been messing with some of the longer form IGTV videos they've been letting us post, basically, on the new IGTV platform, and having a lot of fun with it. But what it led me to do was obviously clean up my disaster of a place so I could actually take some video. And then I thought, well, I'm at it. Well, let's just try some stereo amps. And so I've been recording a lot of stuff in stereo. I've done a few videos lately, and I'm just so in love with playing in stereo. I don't think I'll ever go back to playing in mono ever. I don't know why I would. 2 amps all the way, every time, forever.
And see, so now you know why we started working on a Terraform. Because once you start playing in stereo, it's like seeing in color versus black and white.
It is. It's so good. And I should say, I've done this before, but now I'm kind of set up, and I'm sure I'll tear this all down in a week and this will have completely changed. But right now I'm kind of set up where I have, you know, I have 2 amps mic'd up and a room mic at all times. I can kind of just go out, plug in, record some sounds, and immediately listen back to a full stereo spread. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of addicted to it. It's really made me play more and experiment more, which is kind of fun.
Same here. It's inspiring to play. See, I told you it's my lack of sleep catching up with me. It's aspirable to play.
it's conspirable.
It's conspirable. It's the most conspirable thing to do.
From my kid, by the way.
No, it totally is, man. Even just running a distortion pedal. And so let me be frank. If you're on a distortion pedal and just like run a Y patch cable off of that into 2 different amps, now you're basically dual mono. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about literally 2 different signal paths going to the amp. The quickest way to do that is, like, for example, some stereo choruses or stereo delays and effects of that sort of nature. Generally, you don't find stereo distortion or fuzz pedals. It can be done, but you generally don't find that yet. And, I say that? Oh, oops. And, I'm kidding. I'm just,
Brian, you weren't supposed to say that.
I'm just
we
totally
about this already.
I'm actually throwing off some people who are listening to what I'm coming out next. Cause it's fun, because on our gear group, it's, on the Wampler group on Facebook, I should say. Sometimes I say things in these podcasts that I don't even realize I say, and then people will bring up a question about it. I'm like, did I say that out loud?
Oh gosh, you have no idea. I got an email the other day. It was like, hey, I remember you said something about Fender and you weren't a big Fender guy. Oh no, that wasn't an email. That was a message. I get so many things coming in.
I totally understand.
Yeah. I got tagged in a Facebook post. That's what it was. Oh Blake, I know you're not a Fender fan. I'm like, hold on. Who said I'm not a Fender fan? And I'm like, he probably heard me say that somewhere. Even though that's not what I meant. I probably said it somewhere on the internet because I've spent so many hours talking on the internet. You're bound to say some dumb things like conspiring or whatever.
Conspirable.
Anyway. Conspirable. Your stereo fuzz pedal is called what now?
It's aptly called the Stereo Fuzz. Uh-huh. We trademarked that. We trademarked stereo. So, yeah.
Hey,
so we're gonna come down hot and heavy on
stereo.
Anyone.
I invented stereo, and you need to play original.
Oh man! So, anyways, I totally get where you're coming from. In fact, I don't know if you have one, but if you can grab a TC Mimic, TC Electronics Mimic, and run that into your stereo setup, you will thank me later. I promise you. I promise you. You will.
I need to get one of those.
Dude, if you're just using an overdrive pedal and then going into 2 amps, use the overdrive distortion fuzz, whatever. Use that into the Mimic and then go to your 2 amps. It is a total different thing. It is a total different thing in a good way, meaning you basically turn your sound from black and white to color.
This is I need to try one. I tried the Mimic in mono a long time ago, didn't do what it's supposed to do.
No, it does. Man, I've heard people say this so much. Like, well, how do I use it with 1 amp? I'm like, look, you're never going to take 1 power amp and 1 speaker and make it sound like 2 different power amps and 2 speakers. It's not going to happen. Do you need those separate power amps and you need those separate speakers?
This is one of those things, and I'd be curious because I really haven't played with it since I'm now like exploring the depths of stereo land. I'd be curious now. I'm like almost like, maybe I do need to try some of those, you know, Helix things. Now that I'm messing with the stereo stuff, I'm like, I bet they got some things in there that I glossed over.
And that's how Blake got fired from the podcast. Thanks for joining us, Blake. See you later.
Oh, okay. See you later. Wait, can I collect my last check? Oh, wait, never mind. I don't get one of those anyway.
You could collect all the entire ad revenue from this podcast episode.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be good. I'll be rolling in negative money here pretty soon.
That's right. No, seriously. I mean, it is a totally different thing. And I think I missed said something a minute ago when I said you need two different power amps and two different speakers. It's not just the power amps. It's literally a different signal. A different signal with different EQ and different stuff that's going to each power amp and each speaker. So right. if you were to combine those in one speaker, you would now have mono.
And it could potentially be a mushy disaster.
Could be. So, yeah, it could be could pretty be. Nasty. So
all that to say is like, yes, I too at one point thought that plugging an ABY box meant that I was playing in stereo. No, that's not the case. And we talked about that quite a while back when Jake called in and you know, edumacated us on all that stuff.
That had to be like episode 70 or something. 60?
No, it was only like probably like 50. Well, maybe 170.
Jake did? I don't recall that.
Well, I don't remember if he called into the podcast or if you called him right before the podcast and then paraphrased. That I think that maybe that's what happened.
Because we don't have a 1-800 line to call in. Call 1-800-888-GEAR to get on the line with us. No, we don't have nothing like that.
Quick, buy that number. Buy that number. Before Sweetwater gets it.
Before 60 Cycle Home guys take over it. Take it over. Just kidding, Ryan. Yeah, okay, so let's abruptly and awkwardly move on to the next topic.
That's what we do best.
That's what we do best. All right, so here I am. I'm going in town to get listen to me. I live in the middle of nowhere, like I've said. So I literally to go get food from anywhere, I have to go into the town and go get food because I live in the middle of the cornfield. Anyways. So I'm driving into town, and I'm like, let's see what's on the radio. I haven't listened to the radio for like 3 months. And I'm just like clicking through the stations. And well, first of all, they're all of them were on commercial break at the same time, which is annoying. That's, I get it from their perspective, because now you're forced to listen to a commercial if everyone has the same, their breaks at the same time. But that's annoying. So, okay, there's that. But anyways, after the commercial break, I'm flipping through the channels, all the ones that have guitar-related stuff, by the way. So I'm not, like, listening to, you know, rap or classical music or anything. And I've noticed that the songs haven't changed for, like, 40 years. You know? And so nothing against these bands at all. I mean, like, for example, I'm getting ready to name drop for us in a minute. And I love these guys, but we can't grow music. We can't grow the musical instrument industry, just the overall music spectrum if we don't change our paradigm. So here I am. I'm in my truck, and I hear an Aerosmith song. And I'm like, that's a great song. It was really great in the 70s and the 80s too. And it's 2019 as we record this. Like, I get it. But maybe we should throw some newer stuff in there. And so I changed the channel. And what was it? It was an AC/DC song. Again, not a problem with AC/DC. I like it with everything else. But you know what I'd like to really hear? A little bit of Magpie Salute, you know?
Yeah.
I believe that's the name of the band. But the one with Mark Ford in it.
Mm-hmm.
No, one of my idols is a guitar player. The guy that was in Black Crowes, in case you don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I almost never turn on the radio. Like, if I do, it's on accident. And it happened to me the other day. The radio happened to me, which sounds like some awful thing.
It was some sort of conspirable, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody conspired and found a way to get radio in my ears. It was on our, we have like one of those everything stations. I think there's one in every single Clear Channel market, or whatever it's called now, iHeartRadio.
Right.
Which for those that don't know, almost every station you hear is owned by iHeartRadio, formerly Clear Channel. So, that's not entirely like across the board true, but for the most part, they have the same channel with different hosts in every single market.
It's kind of like the news market. Like all the news comes from one source and it just is spread out through all the affiliates, whether it's Fox or CNN or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Except the difference is there's only one iHeartRadio and there's, you know, at least a few different TV stations.
Oh yes, that's true.
But anyway, all that to say is our local iPlay Everything station came on and what was cranking on there? System of a Down, Toxicity, which, I mean, one of my favorite songs of all time. And then I realized, wait a minute, this is an old song. Like when you were talking about it. Like, that song was big when I was in middle school. It's been, you know, 17 years plus.
Right, you were just a little fella back then.
Yeah, and that song was huge. Like huge on the radio and that band was huge. They're still huge, but that was when they really broke out. And I got to thinking, I was like, when you brought that up, I thought about that incident the other day. I'm like, man, I love that song. But like you said, is this going to be like, is this one of the new classic, quote unquote, classic rock songs now? We're just going to hear this on this station, you know, four times a day for the next 30 years. Is that how that's going to work?
Yeah, I was thinking, I mean, let's look at it's Aerosmith. I think it was like Dream On or something. And that came, what was that, like 77? So 22 years ago, right? Something like that.
No, longer. 42, no, 40,
42 years ago, sorry.
42 years ago, yeah.
Had to carry the one there. That's a joke, by the way. But, you know, in, let's say, 1990. When you turn on the radio in 1990, how often did you hear something from 1950?
Like that no, was, that's a good. That was if pretty you niche. Weren't on the oldie station, you
yeah.
didn't hear it.
Yeah, that was super niche. You know what I mean? That was something like the your dad's dad listened to, you know, when he's tinkering on the car or whatever, changing the oil. But now it's like that's a common thing. We're listening to songs from 40 years ago. That's our entire playlist. But you have so many great bands now. There's so much good music now.
I also think there's a weird thing here. If you're a newer artist, right, are you going to put a ton of effort into getting signed to a major record label that's going to get you onto these stations to get you that radio play and put out all that work? Or are you going to take the same amount of work and put it into your various online places, YouTubes, Instagrams, whatever, and build your own thing and do it all yourself? Like, which way is smarter? You know, I think that old road of the label is getting a little bit eroded in a lot of ways. And I mean, I know we've talked about that like so much.
Yeah.
But I really do think that's part of it. I think like, I mean, you know, how did Post Malone get big? Like it wasn't from pushing for top 40 radio play, although he got it eventually. It was because he got huge online first.
Right. He built the demand first rather than trying to get someone else to hype him up. Yep. And you know, no disrespect to those that go the traditional route, but I mean, you know, I know a person that's got a record deal and they got a big check, you know, a great big check for, all right, here's an advance. And I'm like, you realize that this is a stupidly high interest loan, right?
Yeah, that's all an advance is. It sounds great, right? It sounds awesome.
It's look at all those zeros. This is fantastic. You know,
I got my advance, and it's like, it's called an advance and not just a check for a reason. They figured out a nice way to phrase it.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't know a lot of those advances. They're called an advance because you have to pay every dollar of that back to the record label before you actually start making money off of your record sales. That's why it's an advance.
Right. And it's nearly impossible to do that these days, too, by the way.
Yeah, you know? Which is a whole thing that we've also beat into the ground.
Right. So, but I mean, you know, I'm thinking like with all these, I mean, even just in the Wampler group on Facebook, even just in that group, people have posted their own music, and there's some people putting out all kinds of good stuff just in little localized little section, let alone the rest of the world, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even remember the name of the band last night, but I was editing a video. And I was looking for, you know, either music you can license or free music through YouTube. And I came across I'm assuming it's a person, but all their background tracks were just great. I mean, just well produced. I mean, like a lot, they're very complex. It was just good sounding stuff. And that was something that would never happen before. So I'm not going to start yelling at people to get off my lawn or anything, but to me, like that's, I don't understand why, well, I do understand it, but it's frustrating why your local radio station won't get with the times and see that it's time to change, you know, it's time to change how we do things a little bit.
I think it's because of what we talked about before. I mean, maybe a local independent operation would be a different story. Well, it definitely would be a different story. But I really do believe a lot of these stations that we're talking about, the iHeartRadio stations, I think they're kind of hamstrung. They just have to do what they're told to do and play what they're told to play when they're told to play it because someone paid them to play it.
Right. You want a job, you push the button. Right.
Yes. And you push the button I tell you to push. And if that happens to be, you know, another Motley Crue single, that's what it's going
to
be.
Right. Because everybody wants to hear Girls, Girls, Girls again, you know, when you can't get enough of that. Am I right? You know,
it's such a classic tune. I mean, we've never even, how many times can you hear it before you start to go a little bit, you know, a little bit crazy.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it. So anyways, if you happen to work for a radio station, you might tell your boss that you quit. You're out of here until they figure it out. Actually, don't do that because then you won't have a job. You won't have a phone to even listen to this podcast on.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. So maybe that's a bad idea.
Yeah, maybe just lightly suggest, like, boss there, you might contemplate playing something different.
Is there a suggestion box at your work? You can even write my name on it if you'd like. If that makes you feel more comfortable, you can write your name on it.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Can we put a suggestion box right next to the water cooler? You know?
I'm going to put a suggestion box in your office and just start filling it with things.
Oh, I've got a suggestion box already from my own self. All right, write myself notes all the time. Actually, it's more like a memory box. Don't forget to do this. Don't forget to do that. Don't forget to do this.
And then you end up with so many notes, you don't remember why you wrote them.
And that's the problem. Yeah, I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't understand what I was trying to say here. What was that? What was I talking about?
I wrote an X with an arrow over to a zero.
Right.
What does that mean?
It says email John back. Who? John who? What? I don't get it. Yeah. That's
John Cusack.
That's my life. I saw John Cusack at GearFest, by the way, this weekend.
I was going to ask you.
Super sweet guy. Yeah, we had a good conversation, as we always do. I like John a lot.
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's, I don't think, I know you and I know, and us in the industry, but I don't think there's a lot of end users, you know, those who just buy guitar gear, that realize that John Cusack builds a lot of pedals for a lot of brands.
Oh, yes. You know? So many.
I mean, and he's got his own company. He does have Cusack Effects or whatever it's technically called.
Cusack Music.
And Mojo Hand. He owns Mojo Hand. And I'm sure probably something else. But it's probably not technically correct, but it's kind of like an OEM thing. You tell them how you want it built, what you want it to look like, you specify everything, they build it and ship it for you, you know?
There you go.
Not bad. And he does that for there's a lot of companies that do stuff like that, and he's one of those type of suppliers. So I don't know.
He's really done stepped up a lot of if people who are Facebook friends with John have seen his operation. It's pretty impressive. It really is.
Yes. Yeah, for in a sea where not most, but a lot of pedal companies involve a garage, a drill press, and you know, Radio Shack soldering iron. He's the polar opposite of that. He's got a big, huge, state-of-the-art facility, and does everything in-house. Like, it's a cool deal. And he's got the thing is, guys like that, he's got the skill set to pull that off, you know?
Yeah, if I had that kind of money and just bought all that stuff, you know what it would do? Would sit there. I don't know what I'm doing.
You'd make trinkets for Amazon, right? You'd like little LED blinkers and such. I'm sure.
If I could figure out how to turn the thing on, maybe. Maybe if I was lucky.
Well, you know, there's people that you can hire for a lot of money per hour for them to tell you how to do it. So
I'm just gonna let John do it. I think that's a better.
That's
idea.
The much easier part. I'll just do the designing part. You do the hard stuff, right? I get it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you do that. I'm just gonna keep talking on the internet. That's what I'm gonna do.
All right. And so with that, that's probably a good place to shut it down for this week. Since you had to go on and on about Gibson. Oh my gosh, man.
I know. And then radio markets. We barely even talked about stereo rigs. Pretty much said everything.
Yeah. All right. So if anyone has any comments or questions, Blake, is your email working again?
I need to switch servers, but it should be working right now.
Okay. So you might be able to get a hold of Blake. It's kind of a crapshoot right now. But info@tonemob.com. You can email me at podcast@wamplerpedals.com. And, I always look forward to hearing from everyone, especially if you have specific questions we can answer or address topics on this here little, this little crappy little podcast you listen to. Mm-hmm. Did I say that out loud? And, so thanks for listening. We'll talk to you all next week.
Okay, bye.